If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker as always. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me. Alaikum salam.
We're going to talk about some of the jurisprudential laws about wudu with Sheikh Javid. And let me start off with this question, Sheikh. At the beginning of this episode, we're going to discuss wudu, as I said.
How is wudu conducted by the Muslims? You know, could you please elaborate on this and the ways we can perform wudu?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wudu is an act or an obligatory act which must be performed before performing prayers, before touching the script of the Holy Quran, and many other acts which require wudu. Therefore, a lot of people get confused as to the method of performing wudu. They don't know how to perform it. Of course, they don't have access to the ulama to ask them. Maybe they don't have access to the risala of Islamic laws or to the book of Islamic laws to read the book and to go through it. Sometimes it's very difficult to understand because there are some technical terms to learn. And for the laity, for the ordinary people, of course, it's sometimes difficult to understand. But I would like to shed light on how to perform wudu. Of course, the first thing to do is to wash your face. Wudu is not does not begin with washing your hands mm-hmm. up to the wrists. Mm-hmm. You just need to wash your face, beginning from the forehead to the chin. And of course, the face should be washed that part of the face which covers this, which is covered by one ordinary span, mm-hmm. should be washed. And of course, it's better to include some extra parts as a measure of precaution. And obviously. Washing the face once is enough. It's enough. It is obligatory to wash it once, and of course, it is recommended, mustahab, to perform it to wash it twice. Mm-hmm. And then it's forbidden to wash it three times. And when we talk about the first time, second time, and third times, I just need to say that if you pour water twice, thrice, and you consider it as one time, it's considered as one mm-hmm. once,
So it all depends on your intention?
Yeah, it depends on your intention. So when you pour water on your face once, twice, thrice, or three times, mm-hmm. and then you start rubbing your face, trying to make water reach some parts of your face where water did not reach. So that should be considered as one wash. Mm-hmm. And then you move on to the next part, which is the right hand. You start washing your hands from the elbow to the tip of your fingers, and not vice versa, because that's what the Sunni Muslims do. So we as Shia Muslims, that's the difference between us and Sunni Muslims, of course, because they just start washing their hands from the tips of their fingers and then up to the elbows. Mm-hmm. While that's not the case with Shia Muslims, mm-hmm. of course we must wash our arms, our elbows, our hands mm-hmm. and arms from the elbows down to the tips of the fingers, and this is a must. It's not a matter of discretion or a matter of choice. So it is obligatory. If you wash it from the opposite direction, the wudu becomes white.
Is that all?
Of course, and then again, we need to know that we should try to include some more parts from the arm to make sure that water has reached all parts of the elbow. Because I see some young men, they just perform a quickie wudu without making sure that the water has reached their elbows. And if you check, you see that there are some dry parts left. And then the same is the case with the left elbow, that mm-hmm. it should be washed in the same manner. But what is more important is the wiping, Sometimes I see that some young lads, their hair is wet, their scalp is wet, and they wipe their heads while it's wet. Mm-hmm. They wipe their feet without making sure that it's dry or not. Okay, mm. I even recently, for example, I went to Iraq and found some Iraqi men, you know, performing wudu, and I saw that their feet were completely wet because mm. they were washing under a tap. They were making wudu under a tap, and their feet were completely
they
wet.
They're not already dry.
And they did not know that they had to dry up their feet and then do the wiping.
Mm.
They wiped their feet while their feet were wet. Mm-hmm. So that's not permissible. And it's, of course, because of ignorance, because of a lack of access to Islamic law, to the Islamic sources,
mm-hmm.
or maybe because of a kind of reckless attitude that they have.
There hasn't been enough education, I guess,
somehow.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. The topic we are, delving into is some of the jurisprudential laws on wudu based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javed, you told us before the break about the methods of performing wudu and some of the key ingredients, as regards the whereabouts and the howness making wudu. How much of the face should be, washed during wudu?
The person who washes his face and makes wudu, if his hand is an ordinary hand and if he himself is an ordinary individual, then if he puts his span on his face, that part which is covered by his span, that part from both sides should be washed, and including a little from the two sides is recommended. It's not wajib. So according to scholars, that part which is wajib to be washed is the part which is covered by an ordinary span of hands. And washing before washing, especially when it comes to ladies, because they use a lot of creams, a lot of lotion, a lot mm-hmm. of, they use
makeup.
Something called foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things which must be removed. For example, if they have eyelashes, then the eyelashes should be removed. If they have anything that may form a barrier, it should be removed beforehand.
Mm-hmm, I see. But you talked about the span of the hand that should be involved in washing the face, right?
Sure.
Or the other parts, actually, which are involved in the wudu. But what if somebody doesn't have, a hand or an artificial hand?
Okay, that's a different issue, I suppose. When we talk about the span or the part of the face which must be washed, it's not necessary to use your hand to see how much of your face should be washed. It should be included using your own hand. Of course, you just look at and that's the size of an ordinary hand.
Yes.
It could be your hand or in the hand of any other individual.
Mm.
So that part which is included, that part of your face which is included by an ordinary hand, that part should be washed. And it's necessary to wash it, and the remaining parts you know, is not obligatory.
Okay, I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, and thank you, my dear listeners, actually, for joining us on the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajah ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Sami'un Basir الظاهر والباطن.